And joining us from Munich today, our colleague Malina Herbach. Malina, thanks for making the time. And could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thanks for having me, Karam. So my name is Merlina. I'm a legal fellow with SJAC and for I think almost 2 years now. And I'm also one of the trial monitors at SJAC. So together with my colleagues, I'm observing criminal trials in Germany that concern crimes committed in the Syrian conflict, and especially those trials that concern crimes committed by affiliates of the Syrian government, because these trials are relatively rare and new at the moment, but especially important to cover the full scale of atrocity crimes. So that's why we're observing them.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. I'm sure you will have a lot to tell our viewers. You are our first English language speaker. So, for this episode, our viewers will go through the subtitle in order to follow this episode. And we are recording this episode on the 17th of May, and we have a session that just ended a while ago. Do we have any updates on what happened today in court?
Exactly. I think the session just ended 2 hours ago. Unfortunately, I cannot share that many updates with you guys because the witness is still continuing his testimony, and we don't want to interfere with that, especially because he already expressed that he felt very uncomfortable having to testify over several days and several weeks. So I can tell you that it's the first victim
Anything?
witness. Yeah, it's the first victim witness in this trial,
Okay.
which is, I think, very exciting because for the previous 11 or 12 trial days, the court only dealt with what the defendant had to say about the charges against him and provided personal information. And now they're actually getting to the core of the trial and to the alleged crimes.
Okay, and we are expecting that there'll be more, one more day of testimony by this
Yeah,
plaintiff.
at least one more. Yeah.
Okay, and scheduled for which day do we know?
Thursday.
Thursday. So hopefully after that, in our episode the 7th of June, on the 7th of June, hopefully we'll bring some updates to
Yes.
our. So Marlena, you're one of multiple court reporters that is JAG, the Syrian Justice. The Syrian Center for Justice and Accountability have covered the trials under the umbrella of universal jurisdiction. You've covered the trial in Koblenz in its entirety. So how this trial in Frankfurt is different, has been different so far from your experience in Koblenz?
Well, I think first of all, it's the place, it's very different. So in Koblenz, we had like this really picturesque town and also a relatively, let's say, small court, with, I would also say, a bit less experience with international crimes and international cases than the court in Frankfurt. So that's certainly a difference. And then, of course, the interest in the trial in Koblenz was huge, due to it being the first case of former Syrian government affiliates who had to stand trial. So I think that was one of the main differences because the interest, the public interest in the trial in Frankfurt, at least counting from the number of people who attend the trial sessions, really decreased over time. And
And
yeah, so
how
those I think are the for now because the trial in Frankfurt has not been going on for so long. So I think those are the first impressions.
And you guys spent so much time on the trains back and forth. Like, how many trips did you make to Koblenz?
I stopped counting at some point, and like all I know is that I probably now get all the benefits of frequent travelers with the train service. But yeah, we covered all 110 trial days.
Wow. Okay. And that's a massive body of work. I remember maybe like more than 1,000 pages of legal reports drafted by you and our other colleague court reporter. But what's the significance? Like this is such an historical document that is Jack compiled together. So what's the significance of such massive effort for documenting such a unprecedented trial for Syria, for Syrians, and for anyone actually who's interested in universal jurisdiction.
Yes, so the more than 1,000 pages that you just mentioned, those are the English pages, so our English reports. We're currently working to translate all the reports from Koblenz into Arabic, but so far, I think we're halfway through. It will probably take some more time, but in the end, we will then also have the around 1,000 pages in Arabic language as well. And yeah, some people might actually wonder, like, why you're spending so much time and resources on covering these trials and following them. But there are several reasons. So first of all, the trial is taking place in Germany, and in Germany, criminal trials are never recorded. And there is also no transcript that would be available to anyone. In some other countries, criminal trials are audio recorded, but the record is then not publicly accessible or only released after a certain period of time. The same can be done in Germany, but only if the court allows and considers that the trial is of special significance for the history of the German Federal Republic, which unfortunately the court in Frankfurt, but also back in Koblenz, declined. So this is why we're documenting the trial, to create a historical record that would otherwise be just lost. And we're doing that in two languages, in English and Arabic. And it's also really important for Syrians, on one hand, to follow the trial from afar, because certainly not all Syrians interested in these trials are living close to where they're taking place, and not all of them fit into the public gallery of one of these courtrooms. So we're allowing them to follow the trial in, well, not real time, but more or less real time, like a few weeks delay, I'd say. And on the other hand, I think it's also very important to have the records, to have them there, to have them accessible, to see, for Syrians, to see how individual people who may share the same experience than they themselves tell these stories in a public open court, and how these stories and the entire context of the Syrian conflict is acknowledged by a fair and impartial court. So that's also very important, and very important aspect of our documentation. But I think that's for the Syrians. Obviously, they have a huge interest in these reports, but we also heard from many non-Syrians that they find our documentation of the trials very helpful. For example, if they're doing research on universal jurisdiction, on government crimes committed in Syria, or on shortcomings of German procedural law when it comes to international cases. So they will then also resource to our reports, and because they are relatively detailed, and get the information they need from these reports. But also journalists, they repeatedly approached us and asked when we will release our next reports, because as everyone else, they only have limited resources and time, so they cannot attend each and every session. I think there was one journalist in Koblenz, a friend of us, Hanna El-Hitami, who attended each trial day in Koblenz. So,
of course,
obviously not everyone can do that. So they also use our trial reports to keep up to date and to know what's going on. But yeah, I think it's, the trial reports are very, very important for many of people, for many different reasons, professional, but also very personal reasons.
Yes. I had a conversation with Hannah, and she did mention that it might be overwhelming if she decides to go ahead with the Frankfurt. So kudos to you and our colleague that you guys are jumping from one trial to another and spending your days and ways documenting and reporting back to us. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all the time and effort. And definitely it has been beneficial. I know the Izjak reports are the only meticulous legal reports out there so far. And many colleagues and friends rely heavily on them when they try to dissect the details and the developments of these trials. But you did mention a keyword, the shortcomings of the German legal system. And And I see one of the shortcomings is that these trials are not being recorded for the public interest. And but in he but that is within the German state. But like now the public interest is actually without borders because we have Syrians in diaspora, we have Syrians in Iraq, we have Syrians in Syria, we have Syrians in Jordan, and so on and so forth. So I know it might be a bit unorthodox, but like why did the German not really took on their part to the effort to try to make this trial accessible to Syrians who are concerned and interested overseas? Would this be too much to ask?
Well, yes and no. I think the current legal system is, when it comes to recordings, as you said, it's very narrow, and so the recordings are only allowed, as I said, if the court agrees and if the court considers these trials to be of significant importance for Germany. So that's, and then the courts have discretion on how to interpret that. There's been an entire discussion about the issue of having trials recorded, criminal trials recorded in Germany, and a discussion that's been going on for decades, I think. And the new government also proposed that they will introduce a law, but that provides that criminal trials will in the future be at least audio recorded. But so far, there has not been any development. So for the Koblenz trial, the Frankfurt trial, and I think a few other trials that are coming along, this is not applicable. And recently, the judges in Frankfurt actually said one reason why they declined the request to record the trial was also because they didn't want that anyone could accidentally, or anyone unauthorized could accidentally get access to the recording. So there's also a security issue here. Although I think when we're looking to other countries, for example, to Sweden, where the trials are audio recorded, there are technical measures to ensure the security of these files and that no one gets access. So I think there is a lot in terms of legislation, but also technical resources that need to be updated.
And with this struggle already in place, with these obstacles or hardships already in place, we faced recently with the Frankfurt court the fact that for a procedural reasons, sort of, we can't share with our audience much of what we learn in the lengthy hours of these trials. So it's not being recorded, and for the time being, even if we attend, we can't share. So, do you think the public interest, those who follow us, for example, that their interest in the trial would decline because slowly we're sharing with them less and less details?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, it's not that we cannot share anything anymore. It's just the
True.
court. So the court repeatedly said that they're concerned about too many details being shared in the public because there had already been like an entire history of media reporting throughout investigations. So they're very concerned about that in this special trials. And we then approached the court to ask what the issue exactly is. And they then asked us to take down our full reports and instead produce or provide summaries like any other journalist would provide summaries of a trial day. So that's what we're doing right now. We reduced the for now the publicly available information to the summaries. But of course, once the trial is over, we will share then the full our full reports.
So we'll just scratch on the surface, and once we have the green light, we're still working our detailed meticulous reports, but once the court allows and permits, we can go ahead and share it with the public.
Yeah, that's the plan. That eventually, as we did with the, because we saw from the Koblenz trial that it's really important to have this historical record, to have it not only available during a trial, but once the trial is completed as well for the future. So it's not so that nothing gets lost, and that's very important for us. So that's why we're gonna publish the full reports once the trial is over.
Hopefully, we're all, I know, at least myself and everyone around me are looking forward actually to all these reports. And the depth that it feels like you are sitting in the courtroom actually when you read them. So that's they always
Yeah,
been
I think that was also one of the concerns of the court, that because usually, not usually, witnesses are not allowed to attend any trial session before they provided their own in-court testimony. And so if many details are being shared, you cannot control where the witnesses get their information from. And it's not that witnesses intentionally read everything they get about the trial and then kind of wave that into their own testimony. It's just by reading something and reading something that's very close to your own experience, it's sometimes the lines just blur and you cannot really say what's based on your own memory and what other external information get into that. And then it's really difficult for the judges to dissect where what information came from and also eventually to assess the credibility of the witness, but also kind of the truth about what happened, which is like the integral aspect of any criminal trial.
Yes, and especially in this case, because the media sort of broke the story before we had an actual case made by the prosecution against Alaim in Frankfurt. Malina, I think we might be running out of time, but anything you would like to share with our viewers?
I think we will certainly keep you up to date about any future developments in court. And as I said, we will still take our detailed notes. We will not going to share them as reports, but they will definitely help us to provide the summaries. And our summaries in terms of content and format and style are like just that what any other journalists and media representatives are doing. But SJEC still remains the only media outlet or the only organization who's
That's
really
awesome.
attending every trial day. So we're able to connect trial days and have like a broader view of what's going on, which also then helps us not to identify issues that come up occasionally on one specific trial days, but issues that might come up during the trial or like during several trial days or weeks, and then take that into account in our reporting, but also in our overall analysis of the trial.
Right. And it's really great to have you just to introduce our viewers to the real power and force that is bringing us all of these updates while I'm in Berlin receiving these updates from you. But you and our colleagues are the ones who really there at the scene, spending lengthy hours taking notes. So thank you so much, Marlena, and I'm hoping we will be able to have you in the podcast Adality again in the future.
And
And
maybe you
until
in
then,
court someday.
I was in Frankfurt a few days ago, but not for the trial. I'll be
Okay.
going there for the trial at some stage soon.
Great.
Thank you so much. I just want to remind our viewers that this interview is being recorded on the 17th of May, and that's why we won't be able to have a live Q&A with Melina, and we won't be able to broadcast via Clubhouse. And our next episode would be on the 7th of June. So until then, if you have any questions, comments, you can the usual way leave them on SJAC's مركز السوري للعدالة والمساءلة وصفحة INT الإخبارية. You can leave them in comments, and until then, live you in peace. Shukran, Marlena.
Thank you for having me, Kara.
Of course.